Genesis chapter 1. Figured we'd start here and just preach through Deuteronomy or so. We'll be out of here by January or so. Genesis chapter 1. I don't want to sound Southern Baptist here, but we'll quote a song instead of a scripture here. I mean, this world is not my home, right? But that comes from the Bible, because we don't belong here. We're here for a short season. And looking forward to being out of here soon. Hopefully, I don't know whether they got to start laying the foundation for the temple or killing those red heifers or what, but whatever they need to do, I wish they'd do it. And Lord, just get us out of here. But in the meantime, try to do what pleases the Lord while we're here. And in Genesis chapter 1, we'll look at a few verses and get into the message today. Let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the opportunity to not just hold your Word, to have a chance to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you. Ask for your blessing on the message, that you'd just bless and breathe on everybody here, Lord, that you'd change us for your honor and your glory. Have your will and way here, Lord. You'd be lifted up, your Word would be magnified, you'd be glorified, and the church would be changed to draw closer to you and be more like you before we leave this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I want to look for just a little bit today about that phrase that God, it's a very important phrase, one of the most important things in the Bible after salvation, understand, is God said, "Let there be light." So if I'd title this message today, I'd title it, "Let There Be Light." If you'll turn to John chapter number 8, John chapter number 8, in John chapter number 8, verse number 12, the Word of God says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We know Psalm 119, 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." I always figured God was aiming at me when he said that, to the simple. We think we can think some complex ways and have some knowledge of this world and some wisdom of this world, but really as spiritual things, we're all simple. We're simple. But the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. What is it that giveth understanding to the simple? The entrance of God's word. So when it enters in through your eyes and gets into your heart, it gives you light. And then in John chapter number 11, John chapter 11, if you're in John chapter 8, just turn right. That was supposed to be funny, wasn't it? John chapter 11. Looking at verse 9 and 10, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." We look at this world, and I'll tell you, you don't have to go very far. You probably don't even have to get to your car before you see something that just boggles your mind. But this world's in darkness. This world's in darkness. You say, "Well, it's sunny out." And, you know, here in a couple months, Lord willing, if he's not calling us out of here, well, I hope he does, but if he's not calling us out of here first, we'll see the sun come out and the flowers open up and all that stuff, and then the new beginning of the year and all that. But the truth is, this world is in darkness. And what is darkness? It's the absence of light. Jesus Christ is light. God's Word is light. So God, He spoke, "Let there be light." He desires there to be light, but the world's in darkness because they reject Him and His Word. That's why everything's going haywire all the time. And they develop this thought process that everything's getting better and better, and man can be like God, and man can develop a system that just straightens everything out. And And that's what their goal is and what they're doing. They're ushering in the Antichrist. But that's good. I mean, praise the Lord. Bring him in because we're getting out of here. You know, I hope people get saved. We've been praying for folks to get saved for a long time. Hope they get saved. Hope they get right with God. Hope they're found right in the perfect will of God when God calls us out of here. Hope we all are. But call that old boy in, the Antichrist. Get him in here. Get this thing rolling. It has to happen. It's in the Bible, so let's get it going. We'll get out of here and be forever with the Lord. And right now, this world is just a dark place. And the best day in this world is not going to touch the surface of being in heaven for 1 second, being in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." Glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're here for. We're supposed to show the light of Jesus Christ. This world's in darkness. It's a mess. And everything they do and everything they endeavor to do to try to make it better is just a joke. It's not even, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change anything for the better. Man don't have anything in him of his old nature, of man of himself, to do anything that changes anything for the better. Everything gets worse and worse and worse. We talked about this before. The first and second laws of thermodynamics, you know, I talk about being in darkness. I think I told you this Wednesday night. Some of you folks weren't here, but I was talking about being in the Kroger parking lot. And it was dark out, and I was getting ready to walk to the store, and a guy waved like this, and I went over to his van. I thought he was waving at us. I thought, well, I don't know what this guy wants, you know. And he goes, "Oh, I was just telling you I wasn't going to back up and run over you." And I said, "Well, you know, talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Well, I'm an atheist." And I said, "Really? God doesn't believe in atheists." And he kind of laughed. He said, "That's okay." And I said, "Look, you're going to go somewhere when you leave this place. You're either going to go to heaven or hell. It depends on what you do with Jesus Christ, you know." And he's like, "Well, no, I'm good. I'm 73 years old, and I've been doing fine so far." I said, "Well, 73, you don't have much left. God didn't promise you that. He didn't promise you 73. And he just said, "Well, I'm good." But that's the world. They're in darkness. They believe all kinds of weird stuff, and they're willingly, willfully ignorant, so they don't have to submit to the authority of the words of God. And that's just a crazy thing. I want to look for just a little bit this morning about, seven or eight points of darkness that need to be addressed. And the first one is back in Genesis chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. God's the creator. That's one thing that needs to be addressed. That's the reason there's so much darkness in the world. The devil's come along, and he's got these people. And you know he's the prince of pride. He's the one that said, "I shall be like the Most High. I shall ascend the sides of the north. I'll be like God. I'll set my throne above." You know, all this stuff. He said all that in his pride. That was his downfall, was his pride. And he takes the pride of man and he manipulates man into burying man in a deeper, deeper, deeper darkness. And they think they're getting better. They think they're figuring some things out. You know, every time they come up with a new missing link, they've come up with so many new missing links, it's ridiculous. And every time they do that, it's not far down the road where they figure out that was a hoax, that was a lie, that was something set up by man and the devil. And, you know, they can explain that 60 gazillion years ago, a cosmic burp spit some slime out on a rock that come from nothing, and this slime cooked in the sun, which come from nowhere, right? And this energy of the sun, you know, energy is never created, neither created nor destroyed. But that's their science. But in science, they say at the beginning, it just happened. Now it's just set up to run on the first two principles of thermodynamics, you know. It's just set up that way by happenstance. And the truth is, God is energy. God's the one that talked this thing into existence. We just read it, "Let there be light." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the world's in darkness because they refuse to believe, refuse to accept, refuse to submit to the truth that God created this thing. Because if God created this thing, we come to the problem number two for the world is then they have to answer to somebody. Right? If you just pretend in this fairy tale that it just happened on its own, you don't have to answer to anybody. Everybody's equal. We just do what we want to do. Smack each other around, stomp on each other, run over each other. That's what they're doing, too. They don't want you and I. You can't say anything that's correct. But if you say anything incorrect, praise the Lord, they'll get all over that and they'll brag on you about it. But they're just setting it up to say, you know, they're better than we are. They know more than we do. And the truth is, they don't know anything if they don't know what's in that book. They really don't. Everything they know is just going to stop one day. It's going to stop. And all these things, all these times they've been warned, all these times that they've been given light and they've rejected it, they're going to stand before God Almighty and they're going to give an account for the rejecting of light. But the first thing that needs to be addressed and the first thing that needs to be understood is they don't believe God's a creator. They refuse to accept it, refuse to submit that, and that's why the world's in darkness. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verses 1 and 2 says, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which your the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. First of all, God's a creator. And second of all, God takes his word seriously. You say, well, the world just rejects God's word. How does that apply to them? I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about people that say they're blood-bought, born again, that don't take God's word seriously. Well, how's that? How do they not take God's word seriously? Well, first of all, they don't believe there is a God's word. They believe, almost like evolutionists believe, that something mystical happened a gazillion years ago that caused everything, that God used to have a word, but he doesn't have a word now. And he tells you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If a man loves me, he'll keep my words. So God sets you up. He's telling you to keep his words, and he doesn't give them to you. But he'll give you a series of popes, amen. Now, I'm not talking about Catholic popes. I'm talking about alleged Bible scholars that'll tell you what God really meant, to give you the principles and the ideas and the feeling of the originals. God doesn't want you to have the feeling of the originals. He wants you to have the feeling of the English in today. His words in English. We've got them right here. The King James Bible, the AV 1611. You say, well, the world don't take God's word seriously. Neither do saved people. You say, well, I believe it. I believe that book. I believe every word. I believe every jot, every tittle. I believe everything in this book from cover to cover. I even believe the cover. It says it's a holy Bible. I believe that. I believe that book. But how much do you really read it? And why do you read it if you read it? Because I got to read it straight through every year, because that's just the thing I'm supposed to do. Well, if you're reading it straight through every year and you're just doing it out of duty, you'd be better off just to quit doing that and pray and ask God to show you something every day from all over the place in the Bible. Just go ahead and, you know, let him show you something. It's a matter of your heart. People don't take God's word seriously anymore. God takes his word seriously. He warned them in Deuteronomy. He warned them in the middle of the Bible. And he warns us again in Revelation not to add to or take from his word. You know what he said in Revelation? He'll add to all the plagues that he's talking about in this book, people that add to his words. You know, he's talking about taking somebody's name out of the book of life. You think God don't take his word seriously? So, well, we just go by what we've always believed. You know, what if you've always believed something is wrong? You know what's going to happen when you get to the judgment seat of Christ? You're going to find out you've always went with something you believed that was wrong, and he gave you the truth, and you never checked it out on your own. Amen? I mean, I can sit up here and tell you, you know, we're saved by grace through faith, and we can do the dispensational teaching about how the Old Testament and the New Testament is different. By the way, that is the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. That's why they named them that. That's the least of the differences. But I can sit up here and tell you that, and I can tell you, oh, you're saved by grace through faith. You're saved. You're eternally secure. The rapture's coming. And boy, after the rapture, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. The tribulation's going to be on down here. And then at the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and there's going to be the battle of Armageddon. He's going to cast the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. Praise God. That's going to be a good day. And then he's going to have a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and we're going to come back and rule and reign with him. And at the end of that 1,000 years, the whole world's going to turn against him. The battle of Gog and Magog, and he's just going to speak, and they're going to be burned up. And then he's going to take the devil and he's going to cast him in the lake of fire at the beast and false prophet. Well, that excites you. But have you checked me out? Yeah. Am I lying to you? Yeah. Because if I am, I'm responsible for it, but you're also responsible for it because God gave you the Bible. That's not a chained Bible. It's not chained to that pulpit. Nobody's telling you not to read it. I'm not your pope. This ain't Catholicism. I'm telling you to read your Bible and see if what I tell you is true or not. I'm telling you to be here on Wednesday nights if you can to see if what I'm telling you is true or not. So I can show you in the book, like we went through Revelation. You know, you go through the first three chapters of Revelation. It's talking about the church, the fourth chapter, number four. And John's a type of the church. And he says, come up hither. And John's up in heaven. There's no more church. You get all the way to over to Revelation 19. There's no more church. You know why? Because the church is gone when the tribulation starts. So you can call John Hagee, and you can call John MacArthur, and you can call all the other guys that are out there teaching something different. I don't know what all they teach. I ain't got time to listen to them fools. But all those people that are saying we're at this part of the tribulation, you can call them up and tell them I said they're wrong. And you can open your Bible and you can tell them they're wrong. And if I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. But I'm not telling you not to read your Bible. I'm telling you to read it. study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to rightly divide this thing. Well, the church, we're halfway through the tribulation. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Do you think the world's going to end tomorrow? No, the world's not going to end tomorrow. We got at least 1,007 years, as far as I can tell, if he raptures us out here right now. And then God is going to burn this place to the ground. Even the elements are going to melt away. Say, what's going to be a nuclear war? It's going to be worse. It's going to be the word of God that says, be gone. I'm not sure exactly what the wording will be, but he'll be gone. It'll be over with. He's going to pronounce judgment with that sword, and it's going to be gone. And Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and President Trump and all these other guys that are going to save the world by putting peace in the Middle East, that, you know, all this stuff's going to, and all these people that are going to go, don't spray your right guard, don't drain your CFC, your chlorofluorocarbons out of your air conditioner, and don't run your lawnmower too long, and get an electric this and electric that, and shut down the coal mines, and you know, everything that sprays out, it's got air, you know, get rid of all that. Boy, we need to carpool. We need to get electric diesel, and everybody just ride to Walmart and electric diesel, amen? And then, of course, Walmart don't have anything anyway because the diesels aren't running because they're making the fuel prices so stinking high that they can't afford to bring your cookies over there. You don't need cookies anyway. Get you some broccoli, amen? If Baptists need to learn how to eat some stuff they don't like once in a while, they'd take preaching better that way, amen? Amen. Amen. But God's serious about his word. He's serious about his word. He's so serious about his word, he warns you 3 times in the Bible about messing with it. And most people, they're blood-bought, born again, they're going to heaven, praise God. One of these days they're going to spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. They couldn't tell you where half the books of the Bible were. I'll be honest with you, every once in a while I'll say, turn to Habakkuk or something, and I'm like, good night, I forgot where that's at. I got to dig for it. That's embarrassing. Amen? But most of the time, I just set you up. If I'm going to Habakkuk, I'll mark it, man, and I'll watch you guys go. Amen? I just don't read that often. I know it's in there. I know it's in the Old Testament, right? And some of you are like, is it really the Old Testament? Amen? But we don't take God's word serious enough. You know, if people took God's word serious enough, there wouldn't be places open selling booze, period, but they definitely wouldn't be open on Sunday. That's the way it used to be. I mean, midnight, Saturday night, everything was gone. Then they crept in, the devil crept in, because he's subtle, more subtle than any beast of the field, and they said, well, we'll just have them open on Sunday, but we won't sell liquor. And then the next thing you know, they're selling it until 1 or 2 in the morning. And the next thing you know, and now they're selling it 24/7. And you know what? The blood-bought, born-again believers didn't believe that book enough to quit shopping at those places. Now you can't go anywhere. You can't buy alcohol. Amen. There was a store over in Illinois. Greenfield, Illinois was a dry county, a dry city. You could not sell liquor inside that city. So the guy comes along, opens up the store. He was a big dog, had some political influence. So what'd they do? They annexed around his store and called it outside the city. The city was all around his store, but his store was annexed out of the city so he could sell booze. Fine Catholic man with some Catholic leaders that let him do that. Amen. You say we're awful hard on the Catholics. Who do you think the devil's been using to get this stuff going? The Christians, the born-again believers that don't believe the book and don't stand up for truth, and the people that never knew what truth was, that live like hell and serve the devil, he's using both those crowds. Why? Because God's word's not taken seriously anymore. God takes his word seriously. Check me out on this stuff. If you're not here on Wednesday night, it's online. If you don't want to listen to me, you don't want my opinion on it, get your own opinion. Just look at Revelation. See what I'm telling you is true. Check it out. Amen? Check it out. But make sure you take God's word seriously. You'll take it seriously at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost, you'll take it seriously at the great white throne of judgment. But it'll be too late. This world's in darkness because they won't accept God as the creator. This world's in darkness because nobody, very seldom does anybody take God's word seriously. Even the Bible-believing crowd. I get so sick of the Bible-believing crowd telling me, we believe the book, we believe the book. And some of the stuff they do, some of the stuff they say, some of the arguments they get into, some of the way they treat each other. And they'll just say, well, let's get together and just have this big meeting so we can be Dr. Bottle Stopper up here and I can show you how fancy I am. And you know what I think? I think God's looking at that going, good night, man. I'm walking plumb out of that place. There's so much pride in that place, I don't even have room in there. Amen? There'll be some little old preacher, 90-year-old man in the backside of nowhere preaching to 10 people for 50 years, and he'll get up to the judgment seat of Christ, and God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And there'll be a guy with the church of 5,000 that, boy, his name was known everywhere, and every time he opened the Bible, people were just in awe, just waiting for his voice. And God will go, you ain't got nothing. So why? It's not because of the numbers, because of the intent of the heart, and people don't take God's Word seriously anymore. If you took God's Word seriously, you wouldn't just say, I believe it, and I read it, and I'm studying it so I can beat people with it. You'd say, I submit to it. Say, preachers have trouble submitting to it? Good night. Some of them refuse to. But so do some of y'all. Amen. But see, like I said before, when I first got here, not too long ago, not a couple, 3 years back, we hold the preachers to a standard up here and us here. And you go through that list of things that a pastor is supposed to be, every single saved believer is supposed to be everything on that list. But God holds the pastor to that standard. Amen. And God understands that man's not perfect. But he's telling the pastor, this is what a Christian's supposed to be, and you should really try to be that more than anybody. But that list is for everybody. And that's what's wrong with a lot of churches. That's why I've seen churches that had good men of God that loved the Lord, that preached it straight, that were soul winners, that loved the people, that would do anything in the world for the people, and they run them off because they don't like the person. They'll find something about the person they don't like and say, well, you're not qualified. Well, you're not qualified to say that because you're not God. God's the one that said it. Amen. Now, I grant you, if there's some gross sin that's going on, he's at the whorehouse or something like that, drunk all the time, he ain't getting right, that's a time to kick him to the curb. But they'll kick him to the curb for some silly stuff. And they'll sit there in their sin. They wouldn't move toward that altar to save their soul. But they'll sit there in their sin, and they'll point out everybody else's sin in that church. And they'll be extra hard on the preacher. He didn't shake my hand today, heathen. He's the preacher. He's supposed to have a good report for those that are without. So now you're lost? That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. He's supposed to be he's supposed to be hospitable. Hey, you're supposed to have a good rapport with those that are outside the church of God to win them to Jesus Christ. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's for you. That's for me. That's for us. The only difference in you and me is Sunday morning right here. I'm supposed to be feeding you, and you're supposed to be trying to eat it. But the world rejects God as a creator. People don't take God's word seriously. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll try to make this easier. I'll try to keep it in order a little bit. I'm going to jump around. No, I lied to you. Deuteronomy chapter 5. At least I'm being honest about lying to you here. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, verse 7. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. God's the creator. God takes his word seriously. And God, this is the second giving of law here. Deuteronomy. Deuter 2. The second giving of law here. God makes the rules. God makes the rules. You know why it bugs, if you're saved, you know why it bugs you when you see a man dressed like a woman? Not because your grandma and grandpa told you it was wrong. If you're saved, it bugs you because the Holy Spirit of God says that's wrong. I don't care how big they are, how tough they are, how many times they can whoop me in a day. If they're wearing an earring and they're wearing a dress and their birth certificate has an M on it, they're a pervert.
Right.
And if they beat me to death for telling them, they're still a pervert.
Right.
Amen. I'm in heaven, they're still a pervert.
Yep.
I had a young guy look at me one day all over. He would come by and kind of bump me. Going around I think it was Kroger. It would kind of bump me. I'm like, I didn't say sorry or anything. I wasn't feeling as charitable as I should. So you guys can vote me out if you want, but I'm not always charitable and loving. But it's kind of like, and I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, if I whoop you, an old man just whooped you. If you whoop me, you can beat up an old man. What have I got to lose? You're going to look like an idiot either way. And you're giving me a funny look? But the Lord's like, you're not supposed to be a striker. I said, not regularly, but what about this one time? Amen? Oh, you guys laugh, but you think that too, you know. About 2 hours in Walmart on Black Friday, you're wanting to strangle somebody who's trying to run over you with a cart to get a $5 TV set, and you're looking at me like I'm bad, amen. But they don't take God seriously. They don't accept him as a creator. They don't take his word seriously. They don't realize. They do realize. They just reject it, just like the atheist. God makes the rules. So when I tell somebody or you tell somebody, look, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't realize you're a sinner. You don't realize he died, was buried, and rose again. You call on him, trusting him for salvation to get to heaven. You ain't going. They go, well, that's what you think. That's your opinion. That's your interpretation. No, God made the rules. I didn't. If I made the rules, I'd say everybody gets to go, and in heaven would be such a mess, God would burn it up. Amen? And then if I said everybody gets to go, why would I say that? Then we can all live like the devil. Because that's what the flesh wants to do without God. And that's what's going on in the world. They don't accept God as a creator. They don't understand the importance of God's word. They don't want to accept the fact that He made the rules. And what happens when you don't accept the fact that God made the rules is you end up in Portland, Oregon, burning buildings down that innocent people had worked hard for, stealing stuff and running over people and you know, out there in riots, and then they run over the people that are trying to kill them, and then they prosecute the people that run over the people that are trying to, because God makes the rules. And when you reject that, you reject everybody's rules. If God doesn't make the rules, then you're God. And you make your own rules. Amen. You don't believe me? Look at what the Supreme Court does. The Supreme Court. They don't judge whether it's lawful or not. They decide whether they want it to be law. They're not doing their job because God makes the rules and they won't accept that. When this country was founded, it was founded on the fact that God is a creator, God's word is serious, and God makes the rules. It was founded by imperfect men on a perfect book with a perfect Savior. With a good intention. Hebrews chapter 9. Without God and without His words, there's darkness. Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, let's look at verse 16 and 17. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. There's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know how I know? I've got a Bible. That's the very basic difference that everybody should accept as saved people. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. So you say, well, everybody got saved by trusting Jesus Christ. They were looking forward to the cross. No, they weren't looking forward to the cross because they didn't even see it. They didn't see it. And I can tell you how I know they weren't looking forward to the cross for salvation in the Old Testament is because, first of all, they didn't go to heaven when they passed away. They went to Abraham's bosom, which was in the center of the earth. If you go to Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man's in hell, and he looks up, looks and sees Abraham afar off in Abraham's bosom. And then the disciples walk with Jesus Christ, the people that walked with Him and slept with Him and talked with Him and ate with Him and did wonders and miracles with Him, didn't know what the cross meant. So how could they be looking forward from Genesis to Malachi to Jesus Christ for salvation when they didn't even understand it? They don't understand it today. The people walking with Him, the Jews walking with Him. And we're talking about Jews in the Old Testament looking forward. They were looking forward. They're still looking forward to something. They're looking forward to something they already missed once. So what's that mean? That means Jesus Christ died, He went to hell, dropped off your sin debt, went to Abraham's bosom, preached to those people. They trusted Christ then and went out. There's a difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Abraham's bosom is the closest thing you're ever going to find to purgatory. Amen? There's no purgatory. But the Old Testament Jews went to this holding place because they could, where there is no death of the testator, there's no New Testament. He had to die first before the Jews could get out of there. You know what their faith was? They just trusted God the Father and did the best they could. And God said, I'm counting that to you some righteousness. I'm going to put you in this place. My son's going to come back. You're going to accept him. You're out of here. Everybody gets saved the same way. Well, if that's true, you better build an ark, because Noah got saved by building an ark. Amen. Better keep the law, because in the Old Testament, that was part of their salvation. Better keep the law. You better go to the Seventh-day Adventist church once in a while so you can keep the law. Amen. But you know what somebody needs to tell them? There's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know what the Sabbath was? The Sabbath, the Bible says the Sabbath was a sign for the Jews. I want to go into the Seventh-day Adventist church and say, you know what, I want to ask you a question before I preach. You know, let me preach here. What tribe are you from? Oh, the Zulus and the Zambezis. No, I'm talking about what Jewish tribe are you from? Because if you're keeping the Sabbath for your salvation, that's part of the Jewish thing. That was a sign for the Jews. God gave the Jews the Ten Commandments. You don't get to heaven by the Ten Commandments. You get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ. There's so much darkness in this world because they won't accept God as a creator. They won't be serious about God's word. They won't realize and accept the fact that God made the rules. And there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's darkness in the churches because they don't understand that. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's that mean? That means in the tribulation, they're not getting saved the same way they're getting saved in the church age. In the church age, you're saved by grace through faith. You get over the tribulation time, he's turned back to the Jews, because we did not replace Israel, by the way. We are not replacement theologists. God is not through with Israel, because I have a Bible. And that light tells me in Romans chapter 11, he's going to turn back to them, because blindness in part is coming to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. He's going to call us out of here, and the Jews that are still today trying to keep the law, he's going to say, all right, you want to keep the law? It's that and the testimony of Jesus Christ. They're going to have those two things. They're going to have works and faith. Oh, it gets more exciting than that, because the 1,000-year reign that actually is going to happen on this earth, I have a Bible, he tells me about it. He's going to sit on the throne of David and rule and reign on this earth, and for the first time ever since Adam sinned, there's going to be peace. And it's not going to be because Bill Gates is the smartest guy in the world. He figured it all out. It's not because Donald Trump got peace in the Middle East. It's going to be because Jesus Christ comes in and he rules with a rod of iron. And there are people that are going to hate that so much at the end of that thing, they're going to turn against him, try to kill him, and he's going to smoke them. Amen. There's a difference. Matter of fact, that 1,000 years, what's faith? Now then, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That 1,000 years is all going to be works. How could that be? How could that be, preacher? Everybody's always told me it's always the same. Because Jesus Christ is sitting there. Faith is the substance of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He's sitting right there. They'll be looking at him. You don't have to have faith in something you're looking at. They'll see him. They won't just take him by faith. Then they're going to have to keep works. What, they're not going to have rain, they're not going to get food, there's going to be a mess for those folks that don't submit to Jesus Christ. But there'll be peace because he rules and reigns with a rod of iron. Perfect rule. Perfect rule. Isn't that something? But there's so much darkness in the churches because they don't rightly divide the Word of God. Then you get over Revelation chapter 20. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. I'll try to hurry up here a little bit. Revelation chapter number 20. Well, we might stay for a while. Revelation chapter number 20. So much darkness because God's the creator and man won't accept it. God's serious about his word. Man's not. God made the rules and man wants to be God, make his own rules. There's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You've got to rightly divide this book. Revelation 20, verse 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, at which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You want to be judged by your works? Help yourself. I've already been judged by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, this flesh has already been judged dead because of sin. And I'm judged alive forevermore because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But if you reject the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you'll be judged by your works. And then finally, once and for all, you'll realize there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and your works couldn't do it. And then it's too late, cast into the lake of fire with the beast, the false prophet, and the devil forever. There's so much darkness because people they refuse to accept the fact that judgment is coming. And you and I, when I say that, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Man, this world's in trouble, right? These people that I've told about Christ, I hope they get saved because judgment's coming. Oh, the Jehovah's Witnesses that reject Jesus Christ for salvation, judgment's coming. The Mormons that reject Jesus Christ for salvation, judgment's coming. Oh, the Seventh-day Adventists, all down the line, we think of all these people, and the atheists, and the old the ACLU, the Democrats, the Republicans, however you want to list them, they're all going to go to hell because they don't accept Jesus Christ. And we think of that group, and we think of the fact that judgment is coming. But you know what born-again believers need to realize? Not this judgment, not the white throne judgment, but the judgment seat of Christ is coming. That's another reason there's so much darkness in this world. Because if Christians really believed, if born-again believers really believed, they're going to have to stand before God Almighty one day and give an account for what they've done in this world. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the Bible saying, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What are they persuading men to do? Get saved? No, they're persuading saved people to live like Jesus Christ wants them to live. You know what would happen if every saved person would get right with that book and get right with God and live like God wanted them to live? There'd be a lot more life. You say, well, this world's a mess. Part of it's our fault. Amen. Amen. Part of it's the preacher. No, it's not all mine. Some of it's yours. I haven't done my job 100%. Neither have you. You know, we look at the other people, judging them, comparing themselves among themselves is not wise. We look at other people and say, they ain't doing nothing. Well, don't worry about them. Are you doing what God wants you to do? That'd help us out a lot. A lot. Judgment's coming. Galatians chapter 3. You know what would help some folks out a lot? Look at Galatians chapter 3. I'm talking about people that say they're Christian. I put the air quotes up here for the people that don't see this on. But here it is, Christian, with the air quotes, because that word covers everything today. Christian, that means they know how to change a tire. Amen? That has nothing to do with the Lord. It has nothing to do with walking like Christ. It's just, I believe. And I had a feeling. So I'm a Christian. I have a feeling most of them aren't. Amen? And a lot of times, all of us don't act very Christian. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 10 and 11. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live therein. Judgment's coming, and let me tell you something. The law is not the answer. You Christians are haters. Your God is a hater. No, my God loved the world so much He died for everybody. Matter of fact, He loved the world so much He knew the law wasn't going to get them to heaven, so He died for them. You know what it says here? But that no man is justified by the law. No man in the sight of God. You know why there's so much darkness in so-called Christianity? Everybody's doing their own thing. They're going about to establish their own righteousness, and they're doing a poor job of it, by the way. Most of the people think they're earning their way to heaven living like the bigger devil than anybody. But they're doing a poor job of trying to establish their own righteousness, and they've rejected the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why there's so much darkness. So they don't understand the law is not the answer. Look at Galatians 3, verse 22 and 24. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You see that thing? Hey, God's the Creator. God's serious about His Word. God made the rules. There's a difference in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, even further than that. Judgment's coming, not just for the lost, but for the saved too. Different type of judgment, different outcome. I understand that. But the law's not the answer. The law is given to point us to Jesus Christ. You know what would help the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and half the Baptists? Just to believe that the law is just to point us to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is what we are supposed to be focusing on. He is who we are supposed to be focused on. Do I think you ought to keep the law? Sure. I don't think you ought to have any other gods before God. I don't think you ought to be in adultery or fornication or, you know, any of that stuff. I don't think you ought to do all that stuff. But if you're doing that to get to heaven, you're going to be sadly mistaken when you get there. You're going to be sadly surprised forever. The law is pointing us to Jesus Christ. So what's this light supposed to do? It's supposed to tell everybody that God's the Creator. Amen. And they want to browbeat you and make you believe that fairy tale. I do. I mean, you believe CNN and I believe the Bible. So who's the idiot? God's the Creator. God's serious about His Word. God made the rules. Difference in the Old Testament, New Testament. Matter of fact, it divides even further than that. Judgment's coming for the lost and the saved. And I'm not talking about salvation for the saved. The law is not the answer. The law points us to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the gospel being the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He rose again. If you don't believe He rose again, you're a Muslim. And if you're a Muslim, you're a Catholic. If you're wrong spiritually, you're a Catholic somehow. Because that's where it all goes back to. All roads lead to Rome. They really do. Well, I'm a hater. I am a hater. I hate it when people lie about God. I hate it when they pretend to be God. I hate it when they think they're eating God. Amen? I hate it when they're making merchandise of people in spite of God. Flip your beads and give me some money. Amen? You know, the funny part is, every single one of us could walk out this door today together, and we could go door to door, and we could tell everybody the truth. And if we covered every house in Eaton, we might get 5 people to show up over the next month. But if you go to the door and tell them they're going to burn in hell unless they do a bunch of good works, and we're going to tell them what they are, I bet we could have 40, 50 people next Sunday come in here because they were scared to death, and they want to know what the truth. You tell them the truth, they don't want it. You tell them a lie, they flock to you. Isn't that something? It's because the world has no light. No light. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all sin to come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10, 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God is raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here you go. I mean, you got all these lists. I'll list them one more time. God's the creator. God's serious about his word. God makes the rules. There's a difference in the Bible. It's supposed to be rightly divided. Judgment's coming for the lost. Judgment's coming for the saved. The law is not the answer. The law points us to Jesus Christ. The answer is, is Jesus Christ. So I don't know how the midterms are going to ultimately turn out. We're still waiting on a couple of things. Who cares? The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, but if the Republicans would have got the control of the House and the Senate, they'd have messed everything up like they did before. How many times they had complete control and never done anything right? See, well, they quit doing bad things. No, if you know to do good and do not, it's bad, right? That's sin. That's Bible. If there was anybody in there that actually trusted Christ as their Savior and had a spine, they might be able to turn some of this around. But they only believe in Christ on election day or right up close to it. I mean, they'll go to the black church and sing, Jesus is my brother. They'll go to the white church and sing, it is well with my soul. They'll go down the line. They'll hit them all. And you know who this country's following? This country's following lost religious leaders. This con guy, isn't that something? He's a con man. Call him out. Boy, he's got the biggest name in the country. Trump prayed with him. Biden's probably praying with him. We need to pray for him. He needs to pray for him to get saved. If everybody's going to follow this guy, he needs to get saved. He's lost as lost could be. Jerry Gard, you say, lost a bag full of hammers. That guy's lost as lost could be. You know what the world's doing? Oh, he mentioned God. Oh, what God's he mentioning? What God's he mentioning? There's a lot of gods. There's only one capital G God. But they can talk about little g gods all day long and nobody knows the difference because there's no light. There's no light. Oh, Jesus is just one way. No, he's the way. He's the answer. So what am I saying in all this? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. While we're here, I mean, if anybody feels stuck here today, I do. I want out of this. I'm going to be careful. I want out of this dirt hole. But while we're here, we're supposed to be salt and we're supposed to be light. What's salt do? Well, I mean, it can add flavor. But it also irritates. If you had basic biology or cell biology, you know it also sterilizes. Cleans some stuff up. You get a wound festered up with bacteria and you dump some salt in that, it'll kill that bacteria like that. Through osmosis and diffusion, and that, it'll just suck the others, turn them inside out. You ought to be turning some people inside out, amen? Salt and light. Well, I don't want to upset anybody. Well, how happy are they going to be when they're at the great white throne of judgment and they found out they lived next door to somebody that knew the truth their whole life and they're getting cast into a lake of fire because they didn't get any light? Amen? I know it's not easy to deal with folks a lot of times. I have trouble dealing with me. I live across from the Amish. So if y'all ever think about donating something, donate some diapers for their horses, would you? But I live across from the Amish, and I've dealt with them over and over and over and over and over again, talking to them about the Lord. They don't, they're Catholics with horses. I don't know what else to say. But we told them. We told them if they're not actually saved or don't actually get saved, when they're at the great white throne of judgment, they won't be able to look at me and say, hey, you lived across the street from me. Now, I got some other neighbors I haven't witnessed to. I live quite a ways from some of them. But they won't be able to look at me and say, hey, guy lived right across the street, didn't tell me about Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord will say? That's not true. Because here he hands you a track. Here his boy give you a track. Here his wife is praying for you. Here his family sent you a Christmas basket with tracks in it that he sat there and had Bible study in your kitchen with you before you got upset about eternal security. Amen? Check that one off my list. But I got other problems. Amen? There are other people I should be witnessing to that I haven't, just like you. So what are you saying? We're not perfect, but we should be trying harder. We should be trying harder. The world's running out of time. And we're running out of time to be a difference for Jesus Christ. What are we going to do about it?